Comes from One Bills Drive, where the Bills have seven of their new free agents in town, in the building, giving them tours, going through medical checkups, giving them the lay of the land. We hope to hear from some of them as the afternoon rolls along, but only got an hour to go. Might not happen. Bills also reportedly have signed another free agent, a return specialist. ESPN's Diana Rossini reports that the Bills are signing Andre Roberts. No confirmation with the team yet on that. Roberts led the AFC in kickoff return yardage last year, averaging 29.4 yards per kick return. He also averaged 14 yards per punt return last year. He's 31 years old, nine seasons already in the NFL. Andre Roberts expected to sign with the Buffalo Bills. This will be his fourth consecutive one-year, one-season stop in a row. From 2016 to 2018, he played for the Lions, Falcons, and Jets. Now he reportedly is coming to the Buffalo Bills. Ziggy Ansah, at last report, was still visiting the Buffalo Bills today. The 29-year-old defensive end free agent visiting the Bills about a possible job here. Also reportedly ready to visit the New Orleans Saints coming up next. The Miami Dolphins met with free agent quarterback Teddy Bridgewater last night, but no deal announced. Bridgewater likely having to decide between the Dolphins and his current team, the New Orleans Saints. He had a potentially a long-term option to replace Drew Brees in New Orleans. Meantime, Brees got a new contract today. In an effort to clear some salary cap space, the Saints restructured Drew Brees' contract. He'll still get the $23 million in cash he's due this year, but a simple restructure will push his cap figure higher in 2020. The New York Jets released their top running back from last season, Isaiah Crowell, let go by the Jets. The addition of Le'Veon Bell made him expendable. The Buffalo Sabres in action tonight host the Pittsburgh Penguins, 7 o'clock. If they win tonight, Sabres will have a season sweep over the Penguins and three straight wins against Pittsburgh for the first time since 2005-2006. College basketball, the Mid-American Conference Tournament in Cleveland, UB Bulls winners today. They beat Akron 82-46. Next up, the Bulls get the winner of 4th seed Kent State or 5th seed Central Michigan tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. The Bulls rolling along as they make their way to the NCAA tournament. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Chris Brown is in for the vacationing Steve Tasker. Here for one more hour. Hope to hear from some of the free agents. Don't know if that's going to happen. A couple of issues I want to talk to you about, Chris, and we'll get back to the phones in a moment and get your grade on the Bills and free agency. Isaiah Crowell. One season, obviously, Le'Veon Bell makes him expendable. I used to like Isaiah Crowell, Chris.
Used to play
for the Bryans. Yes. And you know what? It just turned me off so much. Remember the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, week three? The Jets go to Cleveland. Crowell scores a touchdown against his old Cleveland Browns teammates and goes into a long touchdown celebration where he pretended to wipe his butt with the ball. Remember that?
Thanks for reminding me. I actually had forgotten that, but now it's...
I was so offended. Look, guys do stuff, and people celebrate in different ways. That offended me, so I just couldn't believe that that was his choice of celebration. So I'm glad he's been released by the Jets, and I hope nobody else picks him up. Isaiah Crowell, watch, he'll wind up here. But I just think that was a ridiculous affront to just common decency last year. Remember this?
You want to do that celebration? Find a bathroom.
Yeah. It was just stupid. It was Monday Night Football, right? Week three, Monday Night Football.
You got to be better than that.
Right? And it wasn't funny. It wasn't obscene.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing you can think of is Randy Moss pretending to drop trowel, you know, up against the goalpost in Green Bay.
Just crazy, I thought. All right, there's something else I want to talk to you about before we get back to the phones. Where is it? I threw it at you. Oh, here it is. An interesting piece on SI.com from Jonathan Jones, a writer who we've had on the show. He has the early NFL free agency winners. He's got a list of free agency winners early on this week. He's got the Buffalo Bills on his list of six. And let me read you what he wrote about the Bills. And he's right. Jonathan Jones. Social media got its jokes off when Antonio Brown blew up the deal that could have sent him to Buffalo.
Didn't happen that way.
And then Robert Klemko polled agents who aren't crazy about sending their clients to Western New York. Did you read that Klemko piece?
Yeah.
Earlier this week. We'll get to that. But, Jonathan Jones says, second-year GM Brandon Bean brought in a nice haul early in free agency. Speedster John Brown will pair nicely with big-arm quarterback Josh Allen. Then there's Cole Beasley in the slot. Bean nabbed center Mitch Morse to anchor the offensive line. He also picked up tight end Tyler Croft and added ageless wonder Frank Gore, a one-year deal as he continues his march up the all-time rushing list. Jonathan Jones at least recognizes what the Bills have done on a national basis, on a national forum, SI.com, which is important. He's wrong about how Antonio Brown went down. And the Klemko article, did you see that on SI.com?
This is what I found most humorous about the Klemko article. For anybody that wanted to apply Antonio Brown criticism as it pertained to the Bills with respect to that article. So they had the top five destinations of choice in the NFL for teams, and Dallas was first, along with a couple of others. And then they had a top five least desirable locations, and they listed Buffalo first. You know what was second? Oakland.
Yeah.
So they're all, you know, pining and prattling on about how Antonio Brown spurned the Bills, and this is probably a big reason why. He went to Oakland.
Second worst on the Klemko's list.
And I would argue off the field in terms of facilities and all of that stuff, Oakland doesn't hold a candle to Buffalo. Now, maybe it'll be different when they go to Vegas and they have all their shiny new toys, but, I mean, come on, dude. Just enough with that narrative already. He'd never had a choice. He was never given a choice. The only request that the Steelers were willing to grant with Antonio Brown was to get him the hell off their roster. That was it. That was the only request they were going to accommodate him on. That's it.
Yeah. Let me go through some of the free agency winners that Jonathan Jones has handed out here. Cleveland Browns, obviously Odell Beckham from the Giants for what they got, you know, what they had to give up. A lot of help there for Baker Mayfield. They got Olivier Vernon to match with some of the other great pass rushers they had. The Browns did okay. Does that make them
Browns
a
did really well.
Championship contender? We'll see. First year
coach. I think they're there are some things in the way. You've got to blend all of that talent together.
Yeah.
You've got a new defensive coordinator. You've got a new head coach. Granted, he was there, so the offense should, you would assume, kind of hit the ground running because most of the guys on that side of the ball were in it last year. They have some holes to plug on their offensive line. I don't think there's any question about that, especially after they traded Kevin Zeitler. So I think that what you have is some ground to cover before you can stamp yourselves a contender. But I think they're going to be in the thick of that race in the AFC North for sure.
This article, SI.com, listing the free agent winners. He has the Bills in that list of six. Also has the Green Bay Packers. The Packers got pass rushing help, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith. They got Adrian Amos, pretty good safety from the Chicago Bears.
One of the best in the market.
Pretty good ads for the Green Bay defense. I think they might need more, and maybe some offensive weaponry, to be honest with you. But, yeah, on defense, some pretty good additions.
Yeah, and that's the new GM up there, Brian Gutekunst.
Yep.
Who actually, if I remember right, interviewed here.
I think you're right.
Job.
Yes, he did a couple years ago.
But, yeah, I mean, Green Bay was interesting. They were very quiet very early, and then it was like Tuesday hit, and all of a sudden, all these signings kind of came out of the woodwork for them. They did sign a guard, Billy Turner, from Denver. He was a former third-round pick. So they,
you have his college? Did I see him at the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago?
Billy Turner?
Yeah, he's like from a small college down south.
Yeah, he's from a small college.
Northwestern,
I can't remember
Louisiana
where.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember where. But
I'll look him up.
Yeah, I think he was like a third or fourth-round pick. Didn't the Dolphins draft him? I want to say Dolphins drafted him, and then he got cut, and he went to Denver. Anyway, so they did address something on the offensive side of the ball, though not anything, you know, dramatic, and it's interesting to still see Randall Cobb out there as a free agent. It's pretty clear that Green Bay is ready to move on from him, but it's worth noting he's still sitting out there, and it's not. I understand, you know, he had a down year last year, battled some injuries. The guy's only 28 years old. I mean, and he's a proven performer. So for me, it's interesting to see him out there. There's a bargain option who, if he's still on the market next year, you could get for a pretty darn good price. You really could. I mean, that's a talented player who also gives you some return options. You know, he's been a returner in his career. He's a guy that can still run like that jet sweep type stuff that everybody likes now. So you could do a lot worse than Randall Cobb.
Billy Turner, North Dakota State, but he was in the Senior Bowl. I do recall him there.
Yeah, small school.
Yeah. New England Patriots get on the list of early winners in free agency.
What?
Yeah. Let me tell you why, because this might even incentivize.
Yeah, I got to hear this.
As is,
they going to get credit for sitting idle?
Sometimes,
I mean, come on.
This is the credit for the Patriots. Sometimes the best moves are the moves you don't make.
Oh, my gosh.
The Patriots opted not to pay big money to both Trey Flowers and Trent Brown, so more compensatory picks are coming Bill Belichick's way. Really? That's something, I mean.
Because he drafts so well.
Yeah, right. That's marginal, right? We didn't sign anybody, but we're going to get compensatory
only
picks.
The Patriots are going to get credit for doing nothing.
Yeah,
come
you're right.
On with this.
Trade for Michael Bennett. That's
who is this guy?
Jonathan Jones.
Oh.
SI.com.
Okay. Where's he from?
I'm not sure.
Worcester? I mean, come on. Give me a break.
And one more on
the
list.
You didn't do anything, and you're going to get credit for
it.
I understand not overpaying for those guys. I wouldn't have paid $66 million for Trent Brown either. But come on. You're going to give them credit for doing nothing?
Yeah, he is. He did.
Good God.
And lastly on this list, the Bills are on this list, the early winners in free agency, the Philadelphia Eagles dumping Michael Bennett in a cost-cutting move. Left tackle Jason Peters comes back on a one-year deal. They signed Malik Jackson to a three-year deal and getting the trade for DeSean Jackson. Okay.
Yeah. The National nice – here's how it works, Murf. Just – I mean, I'm sure you get this also, and you're astute enough to recognize this yourself. But you look at the last two Super Bowl champions, they're the national media darlings because they did everything right to win the championship. So, you know, anything that the Philadelphia Eagles do, ah, what a great move. That was fantastic. And then, you know, same thing here with the Patriots. Oh, they didn't do anything. They're brilliant. I mean, come on with this already. Just make it a level playing field, at least in terms of reviewing what teams are doing out there. Speaking of which, the Ringer had a write-up. They did a thing on the eight teams that define the 2019 offseason. Now, I would argue we still have a draft to cover here, yeah. So this might be a little premature.
Yeah.
But the Bills are on this list, obviously with seven other clubs. The Jets are on the list. The Browns are on the list. Some of the usual people you'd expect. Packers and Chiefs made it also. But this is what they said about the Bills.
The Ringer, this is.
Yeah. Brandon Bean may not have made any headline-grabbing deals in free agency, but collectively, Buffalo has used its abundance of cap space in fascinating ways. And they mentioned the Morse deal, and they say that might seem like an overpay, but after Eric Wood was forced to abruptly retire, as we all know, blah, 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 they were kind of in a critical spot and had to get that position addressed. And then they said, beyond that, Buffalo spent big on Morse, but the team's other moves along the offensive line have been much more frugal and creative. Aside from left tackle, where Deion Dawkins sits, the Bills had openings at every other line spot. Center is now occupied by Morse, but to fill the rest, Bean has tried to find viable bargain options. So then they list all the options there, and then he went on to talk about, you know, the offense and adding Brown and Beasley and how that'll help Josh Allen. So that's basically where it sits. But it was a favorable review, and, you know, the Bills are in one out of every four teams in the league as, you know, defining the 2019 offseason. I hope that Brandon Bean and company have a little more defining that they can do in the draft, you know.
Because I don't think free agency defines your offseason.
No, well, and really, I don't think free agency is anywhere near done. And Brandon Bean even showed us that with some of the additions that he made as late as May last year.
Yeah, I don't get what.
Even training camp, he was doing stuff.
Corey Coleman comes into training camp. All right, how would you grade the Bills' early free agency moves? That's our Twitter poll. Let's check the Twitter poll. How would you grade it if you're giving them a letter grade? Right now, 94% of you total give them an A or a B. 40% give the Bills an A in free agency, and 55% give the Bills a B. 5% give
little
them
movement
a C,
there.
Slight movement. 40% A, 54% B, 5% give them a C, 1% gives them a D. What do you think? Let's discuss. Phone lines open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550.
So I want to ask you this.
Yes, sir.
So you gave them a solid B.
Yes, sir.
What would have given them an A in your mind? What would they have had to do to bump your grade up from a B to an A?
I didn't think about that.
Was there anything like that you had your
Justin
heart set
Houston
on?
Houston right now would bump them up to an A.
If they can fit that,
right.
I mean, my gosh, you're wedging that contract in there somehow, some way.
That would
you're using smoke and mirrors to
yeah. I mean, I'm looking at guys who are still out there, not guys that they've missed out on.
Yeah.
He would be the one I think that would push him up there in my
they'd be
estimation.
An elite defense.
Yes.
If you add a guy like that, you are an elite defense now.
That would make him an A. Other than that, I don't know. Is there a wide receiver they missed out on in free agency? No.
No.
Antonio Brown was a trade, but even that, that would have made him a better team.
And really, when you think about it,
collection of talent anyway.
Defensively, outside of adding edge rusher or maybe another defensive tackle, I mean, you're going to have a defense coming back from last season that has 10 of their 11 starters coming back.
I know.
You know, Kyle Williams is the only guy that's not back from the starting group. And you've at least signed back insurance at that position in the form of Jordan Phillips. So I would anticipate they're going to add to the defensive line pool of talent, probably in the draft. Maybe they can find somebody. I know they're still talking to Ziggy Ansah's camp, so we'll see where that goes and if anything materializes. But, you know, you look at that defense from a starting perspective, it's in pretty good shape. And they've already done a couple of things to to address the depth. You know, Kevin Johnson being the most notable ad so far, and I think we all anticipate they'll be making a couple more ads just from a depth perspective. So, you know, we're going to have to see how eager they are to make ads in terms of free agency, or when they get to a point where they just say, you know what, there's enough talent in the draft at position X, we can just wait on that, and with the draft capital we have, we're going to be able to address that effectively.
I'm looking over the list of who's still available, and I was watching NFL Network this morning, and one guy that got fixated on a little bit was Ronald Darby, former Bills draft pick, former Eagles cornerback, who is still out on the open market.
Yeah, the Eagles are apparently talking to him right, and trying to get a long-term deal done, but nothing is set in stone.
He's got some injury issues that I'm sure are in the midst of that, right? They have to consider that.
I think he had a high ankle sprain. This is over the last 2 years. Yeah. He's had a high ankle sprain. He had a bad groin injury. I don't know. It's interesting how those things crop up because, I mean, for the most part, he was healthy as a horse when he was here. And granted, he was younger in his career at that point in time. But, you know, that's just an example of how you really do have to be vigilant in taking care of your body. I mean, your body is your career in this league. Maybe in more than any other professional sports league, just because of the wear and tear and the pounding that it takes, especially at a high-impact position like corner. So you wonder what's going on there with him, and that's going to affect his price tag in terms of what teams feel the value is, even a team that knows him intimately, like the Eagles.
Let me throw another name at you, and I'm not saying there's any interest in the Bills on this guy, but as you look at who's available, and Ndamukong Suh might be one of the biggest names still available, coming off a pretty good year, maybe his best year, actually, with the Rams this last year. Why do you think he's still out there?
I think his personal price tag is probably too high. What did he play? He played on a one-year deal last year for something like $14 million. I want to say it was a fat number. Yeah. And I think we, just in looking at that deal last year at this time, I said, okay, this is a one-year, this is a go-for-it year for the Rams. They're going to invest this money in this guy for just this year. After that, he's gone because they have to pay Aaron Donald. So you knew it was only going to be a one-year stay in L.A. for Sue. And he played well.
Yeah, I guess it was probably his best year.
I don't know if he played $14 million well.
No, but
he played well.
Best year in the league.
Right.
Going back to Detroit.
He's kind of a mercurial personality, though. And so you have to be confident that personality can be managed by the leadership in your locker room. Because if it can't be, then you have a whole other set of issues on your hands, and then you have a giant human being who's not living up to his potential, and you have a whole other set of problems.
Because he's giant.
Well, no, who's going to tell him? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know.
You got to make sure you have leadership in your room that has the guts to tell him, yeah, I know you're 300 pounds, and you can probably pound me into salt with about three swings.
But you're wrong.
You're wrong, and you need to work harder. It's easier said than done with a guy like that. Have you ever stood anywhere near him?
I'm down on the field.
He is a gargantuan human being.
Yeah.
Like, I swear.
He's valuable. He's a valuable player.
I swear his upper arm is as big as my thigh. I swear to God it is. He is just a behemoth of a human.
I think he'd have some value here, but I guess we're only a day into free agency, but he is still out there.
Yeah, but for players like that, those are the ones you want to sit and wait on and hope the market keeps softening to the point where he gets desperate and will say, all right, I'll play for $8 million. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'll play 1 year for $8 million. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you're hoping for as a GM, that, you know, if you believe you can still get out of him what he's been in this league.
He's notable. Who else? Anybody else get your attention still being
out
there?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I really haven't taken a long, hard look at the list of remaining
free
agents.
Is there a home for Ryan Fitzpatrick in the league now?
Oh, he'll find some. He'll land somewhere, yeah. He'll land somewhere. I'm not.
Blake Bortles will land somewhere?
It might be a little while.
Okay. Golden Tate. You talked about Tate possibly with the Patriots, talking to the Patriots.
They're talking to him, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, of course. I mean, would you go there if you're Golden Tate? In a second.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the role that the slot receivers play in that offense, I mean, they go back to those four wide double slot looks that they had when they had Welker and Troy Brown, or when they had Welker and Edelman on the same team, and Edelman was just working his way into the offensive rotation. So,
I'm just looking.
You line up Edelman and Tate double slots. I mean, my God, you better be deep at corner.
I'm just looking over the names of those still available, and we already talked about Justin Houston. I think he's likely to go by the end of the week somewhere.
I was stunned that to get Dee Ford, all it took was a 2020 second round pick. That blew me away.
Yeah.
It blew me away. And granted, the leverage that San Francisco had in that deal was, look, we're going to have to sign him to a new money deal, and that's not going to be easy for us. I'm just wondering why Kansas City was so compelled to push him off their roster. Were they that cap-strapped? I mean,
they're pretty cap-strapped.
Because they signed Tyrann Mathieu to a three-year, $42 million. I've paid him $14 million for safety.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather pay that money to your defensive end? Don't you more highly value pass rusher over safety?
Yeah, which
offense to safeties in this league.
I agree. Which is why it's interesting that both Justin Houston and
D Ford
are gone.
You know what I mean? That
one or the other, you could see.
Especially with where the Chiefs' defense was last year. I mean, I couldn't wrap my head around that. They got rid of both of those guys and then paid a boatload of money to a safety who's a good player, but $14 million a year for. I mean, holy cow! I was just as crossed up about those moves as I was about trading Beckham a year after signing him to giant money and then eating $21 million on your cap.
What do you think, Bills? What do you think their grade should be early on in free agency? Let's go to a call here, Sean in Buffalo. Hi, Sean. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Okay.
So with all the signings, you know, the center, I think, was really good with Mitch Morse and everything. The left tackle, he's one of the best, you know, moving left tackles. What do you think come the draft? Do you think we should still target Metcalf, or do you think we should maybe go after a running back to have him grow under these two future Hall of Famers?
Well, if you're asking me what I would do, I would focus hard on defenders, pass rush guys. There's a glut of good pass rush targets in this year's early first round especially, and I would keep an eye on Metcalf and do a lot more work on Metcalf in the next 6 weeks. Running back would not be on my early on my list here. Maybe not even in the first
three rounds. Probably.
Yeah, not
Day
the first three.
Three
rounds.
It's not a great running back class. There is a healthy drop off probably after round two or so, I was just alarmed at the lack of pure speed of running backs, top to bottom in this class. A lot of 4.6 and 4.7 guys, when in previous years, I mean, you might not have guys that had the full package, but what they did have was timed speed, you know, and that helps you because you can get to the edge more effectively. You can stick your foot in the ground and burst through a hole that much faster. That's why you look for explosion in running backs. And this year's class, you know, after you get past round two, maybe early round three, there's a lot of grinders, a lot of mutters, if you will, that just do not have that burst that teams covet and look for in backs.
Which is not to say you dismiss them. One of those mutters might have a role to play here in Buffalo.
You're right, but you're not spending an early draft choice on a player like that. You're just not. That's just not what has traditionally been valued. There's a place for them in the league, but they're not going to be an early draft pick in getting here.
Take a call here from Donnie in Sarasota, Florida. Donnie, welcome. How's the weather in Sarasota today?
Absolutely stunning. I'm looking at blue skies, a couple clouds, and I'm sitting on the Gulf. So, you guys that?
You're on the water or looking at water?
Drop a line in the water, man.
I live on the water. I'm getting the boat ready to get back out today. Just had to call in real quick.
Oh, go ahead, Donnie.
Sorry, John.
Yeah.
John, Chris, you need to be on more. You're awesome.
Thanks.
Steve Tasker for the Hall of Fame, and I wanted to give the Bills an A on this free agency, you know, especially the addition of the wide receivers. You're going to have Brown and Foster, like, blowing the top off most defenses, and Beasley and Jones having, you know, amazing years catching underneath. And as soon as those safeties come down to try and stop those two, Josh Allen is just going to be burying them in the end zone. That opens a lot of play action. Josh Allen, hopefully with the addition of this center, is not going to have the center in his face the entire game, his back anyway. No offense. I was wondering where you guys thought that Duke Williams fit in, and I think that with this offense that they're looking at, as long as Dable runs it right, these two running backs are going to have an amazing year because you're no longer going to have seven guys sitting in the box on them.
Yeah,
I'll hang up and wish you guys well from sunny Florida.
Thanks, Donnie. Have a good day out on the Gulf. He asks a good question about Duke Williams, and I have to say I'm eager to see. I don't know. Don't know. I haven't seen him run a route, right? I haven't seen him at all out here.
I mean, his production was off the charts. He was the leading receiver in the entire CFL last year, I think in terms of catches and receiving yards. And I think he had 15 touchdowns also. It is a different game. It's a wider field. It's a longer field. The end zone's 20 yards, not 10. So, you know, it's arguably easier to score there too. And he was a physical freak in the CFL because you don't have as many six-foot corners playing in the CFL. So he, being 6'3" and 215, 220 pounds, just has a physical superiority over a lot of cornerbacks in that league. Here, that's not going to be the case. So can his game translate is probably the biggest question that has to be answered by him, you know, when he gets here in OTAs and the like. You know, as far as the other stuff, you know, here's something that I really hadn't thought about yet, Murph, and what Donnie said kind of made me think about this. With the way that Brown and Foster, we envision them stretching the field, the amount of room underneath for Beasley and or Jones is going to be significantly greater. There are going to be bigger holes and areas of the field to exploit because in many cases those safeties are going to have to vacate to cover over the top. I mean, the Bills might see a whole lot more cover too, and that's good news for the guys playing underneath, you know, like Beasley, like Jones, and it's good for the run game too. So there are trickle-down effects to what the team speed that's been added to this roster will do for this offense for sure. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. I've got another grade here on the on Twitter, Murph. This one's from Paul, and he said he gives him a grade B+. They filled almost every hole except defensive end, defensive tackle, and this could change. Picked up an all-pro return guy. He's referring to the reported signing of Andre Roberts. Still need a punter. Actually, they don't, because they do have one. If the Bills make the playoffs this year, Bean should be considered for GM of the year. Solid players, financially good signings. Now, the punter is Corey Bohorquez, the rookie kid who came in with great production from college. And I thought in a situation that would not be easy for any rookie at any position to come in here cold, what, a week before the season started, and then he got hurt, and he was playing hurt for about 3 or 4 weeks with a bum shoulder before they finally IR'd him. That kid can kick. That's all I'm going to say. So I think they have a punter they have a lot of confidence in. When they picked him up off waivers from the Patriots, who wanted to stash him on their practice squad, they signed Bohorquez to a 3-year contract. They didn't sign him to a 1-year rookie deal and say, well, let's see how you do. They signed him to a 3-year contract. That's evidence of the kind of punter they believe he can be. That's a long-term commitment to a guy walking in the door that they hadn't seen anywhere else but on field. And in the Patriots didn't even use him in the preseason last year because they were trying to hide him and keep him off NFL film. And that's what the Bills thought of him. So that's your punter going into next year.
You got a caller on the line about this issue. Joe in Tonawanda. Joe, you had a question about Bohorquez or about the punting?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question because it just seemed like I couldn't even remember his name, and it didn't seem like he was getting it down to the 10-yard line. I don't know. That was it.
Yeah, he was kicking hurt, and granted, you say, what can a shoulder do to affect you? But I think when you have an injury, it affects everything, even if it's not connected necessarily directly to your lower body. But I think this kid's going to have every opportunity to be the starting punter for this team. He's healthy now. And I think with a full offseason with this team, you're really going to be able to see what he can do to help the special teams unit, which needs help in a lot of areas, which is why we're hearing the reports of Andre Roberts probably. And, you know, their coverage units are going to need some help too. So
only half a season for Corey Bohorquez last year, 8 games played.
Yeah.
And I probably shouldn't say this, but he's a regular here at One Bills Drive.
Yeah.
He's been out in the fieldhouse rehabbing his injury every day, and there aren't a lot of players around, but he's spending his off-season time rehabbing here with the Bills trainers keeping an eye on him.
And I don't want to make excuses for him, but you drop any rookie onto a roster a week before the season, he doesn't know anybody from Adam, and now in 6 days you got to go punt against the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, it's just – and you're holding for a veteran kicker. I mean, that whole chemistry, I mean, there was a lot on his plate in the early going, and then he got hurt on top of that. And so I think it was a very, I don't want to say it was unfair because the NFL is the NFL. It's either make or break. But I thought it was a very difficult position in which a rookie had to land. And I am confident that with a full off-season run-up to his second NFL year, he's going to do demonstrably better this season.
A break here. We're coming back with more One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Back, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy with Chris Brown. Chris is in today and tomorrow. We're going to have a good show tomorrow. Not that we didn't have a good one today. Got a ton of good response today. Tomorrow, Brandon Bean is expected to be one of our guests to talk about the first week of free agency. Greg Cosell, our usual Friday visitor, will be with us tomorrow. And we expect to talk to some of the free agents who are still making their way around the building, including the wide receiver John Brown, who, as we speak, is meeting with the media, being interviewed over in the podium area in the media room. Let's listen in. John Brown, Bills free agent wide receiver, just signed to the roster yesterday as he talks to the Buffalo media today.
John, welcome to Buffalo. And can you just walk us through the process of choosing the Bills?
Thank you, first of all. And, you know, just the process of coming to the Bills, it was kind of tough, you know, just with the you know, with plenty of options, but when you look at it on the good side, you know, it's a team that always willing to work, and plus with a young quarterback that can throw great passes and do all type of things, that what brought me here.
How much of last year's process of going through this and the Bills possibly, you know, trying to recruit you, maybe you signing with them and you ultimately went to Baltimore, but how much of that kind of led you down here that you were already familiar with them?
You know, just like the same situation, like I said, you know, last year with the Ravens, you know, I didn't know what the quarterback situation would be here. But, you know, now that I see they have a great quarterback and we could do a lot of things together.
Do you think Josh Allen can overthrow you?
Honestly, I think he can. You know, I don't say that about a lot of quarterbacks, but I think he can.
So what do you know about him? You know, what are your impressions from watching him on highlights or whatever? I don't know if you've seen much of him. What do you know about him?
Oh, you know, I just know that he's accurate. You know, he can run the ball. You know, he leaps over a lot of guys, and I'm just excited to work with him.
How much, when you reflect back to last season, I'm fully aware of the uncertainty that was here. How much did that help you look to Buffalo when you got your opportunity in free agency yet again?
Could you repeat that question again?
No, they tried signing you last year. So with that experience, how much did you rethink Buffalo? You know, how much was Buffalo on your radar when you became a free agent again in that sense?
Oh, they was on my radar again, and I'm a person that I believe if after you basically go somewhere else and this team is still after you, you know, it's got to be something good about this place.
What do you think of what they've done in the last 2 days? They've added 8 players, 7 on offense. What does that signal to you, at least?
It just signaled to me that they're trying to build and, you know, just trying to work from here to see where we can go when the season starts.
Do you know any Bills players or coaches?
Lorenzo. I played with Lorenzo in Arizona.
So did you have a good feeling about that? Did he reach out to you at all, or are you to have any communication with him?
No, I didn't have no communication. You know, I just made a decision, you know, with my heart, you know, and so I just followed it.
John, your production last year, at the beginning of the year when Joe Flacco was in, you got off to a great start. It seemed like after, I guess, the bye week for Baltimore when Lamar came in, that production wasn't at the same level. What changed in your mind?
You know, just being a team player, you know, the offense changed, you know, due to the quarterback situation. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was just about winning. So I didn't have no parts of that.
How do you see you and Cole, you know, fitting yourselves into this offense right now?
I think we'll fit in good. We're going to come ready to work, you know, just with the other receiver guys. You know, I've seen them guys make a lot of plays, and we all fit in good together. You know, it's just not about me and Beasley.
What did you make about, you were one of the guys who got chicken wings at the airport, right?
Yes.
What did you make of just, how was that as welcomes go?
Oh, it felt good, you know. That was something new. And, you know, it kind of made me feel like I was at home.
Do you know Robert Foster at all? You both have a lot of speed. You know, he said yesterday that having you both in the field at the same time would be pretty scary for defenses.
Oh yeah, it will be scary. You know, just I play with a guy, a lot of guys with speed, you know, like J.J. Nelson, and he can fly also. So with us on the field, you'll just have to pick a match, and it'll be fun, and I'm willing to work with him.
There's some debate about your nickname. Do you prefer Smoke or Smokey?
it doesn't matter, you know. I go by both of them.
Have you had any communication with Josh Allen since signing?
Yes. Once I made the decision, Josh Allen was the first person to call me from the organization. And, you know, he was just amped up about it. So I was glad to hear from him, you know, by him being a young quarterback. You don't see most young guys do that, that's trying to take over a team.
So did he call you before Brandon Bean or McDermott, or he was the first player?
That was the first person I heard from. You know, I got text messages, everything, but he reached out and called.
You guys planning to meet up during the offseason, get some work in together, you and Josh?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, but not just me and him, you know, all of the receivers and tight ends.
John Brown, Bills wide receiver, answering questions right across the way in the media room. Hopefully getting him on the show with us tomorrow at some point, Chris. You had kind of a good Buffalo-based John Brown trivia question that you threw. Was that you that did that yesterday?
I did?
Didn't you ask me a question about John Brown?
What did I ask you about?
His alma mater.
Oh, yes, his alma mater.
Go ahead.
Do you know what it is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I want you to let our listeners in on your little – I thought it was a good trivia question.
Yeah, he went to Pittsburgh State.
Yes,
now, he started
in Kansas.
He started at another school, Mars Hill, and then he had some academic issues, had to go to JC, and then came out of there and went to Pittsburgh State. So he is the second Bills player in team history from Pittsburgh State, the other one being Brian Moorman.
Yes, one of the all-time Bills.
Yeah, so.
It's a good stump your friends at the bar tonight.
Yeah. Who's the only other Bill that went to Pittsburgh State besides John Brown? And your answer is Brian Moorman.
Good.
Let's try that one on for size.
Yeah. Here's a call on the line.
Win
Pat.
A drink anyway.
Pat on the line. Pat, where are you calling from?
Shalott, New York.
Oh, Shalott. Okay. Down the road a little bit. What's up, Pat? What's on your mind?
All right. What I was going to ask was about the ninth pick in a draft.
Sure.
What about putting in maybe another Josh Allen? The quarterback or the linebacker from Kentucky, CEC player of the year or SC
player of the year. He's a top 10 candidate, right, Chris? Isn't he?
I don't know. People weren't too giddy about him at the combine.
Yeah,
I was surprised that some of the luster came off of him when we got to Indianapolis because a lot of people had him as a consensus top 10 selection, and now. It seems like that kind of interest has waned a bit, which tells me one thing. The media was gaga about him.
Yeah.
But after they had the opportunity to talk to a lot of front office people in Indy for a week, they realized, oh, the league doesn't maybe think as highly of him as we do as a media. And so they kind of follow suit and fall in line with, you know, what the professional trained eyes people think of him. And so I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where he falls in a class that is very deep, as we've said, in edge talent and in defensive tackle talent. I mean, D-line talent overall, you know, you hear people like Daniel Jeremiah and others saying this is as deep as the defensive line talent has gone in maybe 20 years in the draft. So that says something, and it most definitely has an impact on where GMs are going right now in free agency. Because they feel that depth of talent on the defensive front, if they need such talent, is something they have in their back pocket in the draft.
Which is why people like Justin Houston and some of the D-line defensive tackles are still out there in free agency, I would think. Right?
Yeah.
One of the reasons why. It'll
be a soft market for them based on the talent that's coming in the draft, which can be had at a much cheaper price in terms of labor costs.
Yeah. All right, we got a break here. We're coming back with more.
Die on us.
No, I'm good. I'll make it. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Okay, so what have we learned from today's show? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What have we learned? Well, the main thing we learned is that Bills fans, responding to our Twitter poll, absolutely love the picks, the free agency selections the Bills have made. How would you grade the Bills' free agency move so far? 40% of you give them an A. 54% of you give them a B. So if you're keeping score at home, 94% of Bills fans responding say they kind of like the Bills' free agency moves. Free agency 1 day old and about one more hour. You think the meat of it is over with, but that impressed me, Chris. Yeah, there are still some moves to be made. We know that, to be sure. And I don't know if there's going to be big splashy moves anywhere, including Buffalo. But, yeah, Bills fans like it. So that's good. They get passing more than passing grades.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point in time, you're venturing into the portion of free agency where 1- and 2-year contracts become more of the norm rather than the exception due to both sides wanting that. You know, the teams in the league are looking for short-term commitments to get stopgap players to fill roles until they have younger players that are ready to step in. And those players that are still out there in free agency are looking for a short-term deal to kind of prove they can produce so they can get a bigger contract and go back in free agency the next year.
Hey, we talked about how one of the goals for this offseason for the Bills was to add weapons for Josh Allen. It appears with the additions of John Brown and Cole Beasley, it appears they've done just that. Next-gen stats from the NFL. Projected Bills receivers in 2019, average air yardage per target. Look at this. They've got Robert Foster projected at 20.6 yards per target. John Brown would rank 6th in the league. Foster would be 1st in the league at 16.3. Zay Jones would rank 28th, and Cole Beasley would rank number 91. I mean, these are projections, but that's impressive, Chris. That's weaponry right there, offensive passing firepower right there.
Yeah, I mean, if I remember right, if Robert Foster had enough receptions to qualify last season, he would have been right at the top of the league in terms of receiving average. So that projection really doesn't come as any surprise.
This might come as a surprise, a tweet from Adam Schefter. This is amazing. Former Bills quarterback J.P. Lossman, 38 years old, offensive coach at Clemson, right? Threw the ball. No, he was an old offensive.
Yeah,
now he's
like
in Arizona.
An intern.
He's at Carolina, or at Arizona, the Cardinals. He threw the ball. J.P. threw the ball to wide receivers and defensive backs so well at Clemson's pro day that an NFL team actually asked him if he had any interest in coming back to the league. Hasn't played in 2011. J.P. hasn't played.
He just had a birthday this week.
Yeah,
I think his birthday was on the 12th.
That's good. Hey, thanks to our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, producer Jay Harris. Back tomorrow with Brandon Bean, we expect. With Greg Cosell, we know, and maybe some of these free agents on the show tomorrow. Join us then. One Bills Live for One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.